Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Okay, here we are, Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I want to begin with some lesser items of importance, because after the first break, I expect to be joined by either John Carman or by Danny Siras, possibly even both. So I want to begin with this situation, RSN, which is a extreme left-wing publication, had a very interesting article about the rape trial of Donald Trump. And because I found RSN to be completely closed-minded, that they have rejected posts I've made in the past, I thought, well, what the hell, I'm going to give it a shot. Now, here's the article. The astonishing E. Jean Carroll verdict by David Graham from The Atlantic. Donald Trump has been found liable by a jury for an act of sexual violence perpetrated nearly 30 years ago. A perpetual circus and endless scandals that attend Donald Trump, whether in his personal life, business, or politics, can obscure the utter strangeness of the circumstances of any one case. So pause to consider what happened today in a Manhattan courtroom. A jury, after fewer than 3 hours of deliberation, has concluded that the former president sexually abused and defamed the writer E. Jean Carroll, though jurors also concluded her accusation of rape wasn't proven. The jury awarded Carroll about $5 million in damages. That result is astonishing. This is a former president of America being found liable by a jury of his peers for defamation resulting from an act of sexual violence perpetrated nearly 30 years ago. The verdict is a sign of two competing truths about American society today. The country has become more willing to hold powerful men to account for their behavior, and yet at the same time is still willing to give them power again and again. The shock of the verdict is not because the allegation was particularly difficult to believe. On one side was Carroll, whose account of the incident was clear, consistent, and nauseating in its specificity. Carol sued Trump for defamation after he buffed off the allegation by saying, she's not my type. On the other was Trump. The former president faced a challenge in defending himself in the case. Much of Carol's account matched a modus operandi that at least 26 women who accused Trump of sexual assault have described. Carol interviewed five of them for a series in The Atlantic in 2020. Trump denies the allegations. Trump himself described his approach in the infamous leak recording from Access Hollywood, in which he boasted about sexually assaulting women. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. Just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can anything. Grab them by the pussy. You can do anything. Trump also didn't bother to show up for the trial, claiming he wanted to spare New Yorkers the traffic jams his presence would cause. Last week, while in Ireland, he said he would fly home to appear in court, but surprising no one, he didn't. Trump's absence might have reflected a recognition from the outset that he was likely to lose and a desire to distance himself from the case. And although it's impossible to determine how much it was a factor in the trial's outcome by failing to show up, he sent a message to the jury that he wasn't invested in defending himself. His lawyers reinforced the message by declining to call a witness and instead trying to pick apart Carol's case during cross-examination. What kind of witness would Trump have called anyway? Finding an alibi witness for a moment 27 years ago would be tough. And who would be a convincing character witness? Carol's lawyers made Trump a presence in the courtroom anyway, playing excerpts from a deposition for the case to devastating effect. In one instance, going straight at Trump, Trump's not my type defense, Carol's lawyer showed him a photograph of Carol. Asked to identify her, he mistook Carol for his ex-wife, Marla Maples, whom Trump had to admit was his type. More appalling was his discussion of the Access Hollywood tape. Trump, both in the past and in the deposition, wrote that of his locker room talk. But he couldn't bring himself to repudiate or even distance himself from the comments, even now, nearly two decades later. Well, historically, that's true as stars, he said. True as stars that they can grab women by the pussy, Carol's attorney, Roberta Kaplan, asked. Well, that's what? If you look over the last million years, I guess that's been largely true, he said. Not always, but largely true. Unfortunately or fortunately. Unfortunately or fortunately. And you consider yourself to be a star, Kaplan put it? I think you can say that, yeah, Trump replied smugly. In citing the last million years as precedent, he seemed to believe he was still living in them. Trump is not the first man to be both president and a sexual assaulter, but he is the first to have a jury find so. The verdict against him shows that in at least one case, with one high-profile and unrepentant defendant, the old world in which powerful men could do anything they wanted to women has passed away. Things have changed a little in the past 1 million years, or at least in the past 30. So I thought this was ridiculous. I'd give it a shot. I had no expectation my comment would be allowed to stand. Here's what I posted. This case should never have gone to trial. What woman who has been raped cannot recall the year, much less the month, the week, the day, and the time? And how could Trump defend himself with an alibi absent that information? There was nothing specific about the date and time. This was a fantasy. For Law and Order, SVU, had presented a rape in the lingerie department of Bergdorf Goodman 7 years earlier. She was a huge fan of The Apprentice, and told Anderson Cooper the rape is sexy and promotes fantasies. What is more probable? That she was raped but can't even remember the year it took place, or that she has an infatuation with Trump and has fantasized this event? Not a tough call. I was just astonished that they left it up. So someone with the initial JCM replied. Told Anderson Cooper that rape is sexy and promotes fantasies? Not true. Trump said it, not her. Well, that was ridiculous. So I said, no, it was her observation on Trump's, and I put up a link to where you can hear her say it. And she also admitted she's a fan of Law and Order, but claims she doesn't watch SVU episodes because they are too violent. Having watched hundreds of both, what she is claiming here is simply not believable. She's living out a fantasy. Well, to my astonishment, they took that out. So I came back and complained about it, and indeed it turned out that the editor was apologetic and said they're just beginning to use Nisqually and they're trying to get it straight and they wanted to do it without moderation. And in fact, I even also wrote him to say the reason people didn't give a shit about RSN, which had been begging for support from donors, by the way, is because they don't allow controversy, that they always have a left-wing slant. And it appears to me he was giving it a try. So when he got it back up, I congratulate him on this. I think it's going to make a difference. Here is E. Jean Carroll with Anderson Cooper. Check it out.
You don't feel like a victim.
I was not thrown on the ground and ravished. Which, the word rape carries so many sexual connotations. This was not sexual.
But I think most people think of rape as it is a violent assault. It is not.
I think most people think of rape as being sexy.
Let's take a short break.
Think of the fantasies.
We're going to take a quick break. If you can stick around, we'll talk more on the other side.
You're fascinating to talk to.
Bizarre, coming on to Anderson, who's well known to have a different sexual preference. Meanwhile, Robert Mill posted, this is a shockingly funny article. Take this one. Carroll sued Trump for defamation after he brushed off the allegation by saying she's not my type. So now concluding that someone is not your type, or more bluntly, that you're not sexually attracted to someone, is defamation? So I guess every human being on earth defames some other person several times a day. I guess it's a personal offense to learn that Trump is not sexually attracted to you. But what does that say about you that you actually care? Well, I guess anything can be a defamation, even being alive. To me, it seems as if Carol defamed herself in her tell-all book about all the rich and awful men who raped her. She seemed to have sought them out and then exalted in being raped by them. Interestingly, she does not mention Trump as a rapist in that book. That story was invented later. A New York judge and jury would convict a ham sandwich if they thought it was Trump's. It does not matter what charges were. The fact is, it was Trump is enough for a conviction. The perpetual circus and endless scandals that attend Donald Trump, whether in his personal life, business, or politics, can obscure the utter strangeness of the circumstances of any one case. This is, of course, the formula of the Democratic Party. As Burr John Escher terms it, to defeat Trump in 2024. It was also the formula for 2020 and 2016. Buckle up, Burr John. It's going to be a very strange ride from here. Now, this guy, John Escher, actually published a number of really, in my opinion, incoherent posts. But here, I just discovered this morning, Robert Mill posted the following. I think she has a rape fetish. Remember, this was a fad for a while in New York in the 1990s. Very many women were imagining that they were raped by all kinds of people. The idea of recovered memories was invented. These recovered memories were always short on essential details. In the end, most of these cases were narcissistic fetishes. In the case of Carol, it was particularly a fantasy. She imagined being raped by rich and powerful men. She names a lot of them in her book, but she does not name Trump. That came up in the marketing of the book. In the end, this was just extortion by court proceeding. She got $5 million out of Trump, and the judge and jury helped her. Trump lawyers filed an appeal, so an appeals court will look over the evidence. I don't see that there were any grounds for defamation. You can't defame someone who is falsely accusing you of raping her. The accusation, especially if it is false, gives the accused the right to be angry and upset with the accuser. If Trump called her a skank or something else, he has the right to do that because she leveled a false accusation. I added in applause, excellent, Robert, spot on, recovered memories indeed. You have it exactly right. Thanks for posting. Meanwhile, and by the way, I have no doubt whatsoever the case is going to be overthrown on appeal. That's not the issue. It should never have been brought. And what they wanted was just to tarnish Trump so they could have something else to use to smear him as we approach the 2024. That's what it's all about. They know damn well it's going to get tossed out of court. But it may very well be, you know, that it takes around a year to do it. So they're going to get all the benefits of the smear in the meanwhile. RFK Jr. comments on being Trump's VP. Robert Kennedy Jr., a Democrat running for president, said that he would not, under any circumstances, run with former President Donald Trump in the general election of 2024. This put an end to any conjecture over the topic. Kennedy, who declared his candidacy for president last month, sent a statement on social media saying, just to put an end to any rumor, under no circumstances would I accompany Donald Trump on a presidential electoral ticket, he said, or approach the government on philosophies on leadership and opposition on certain basic topics couldn't be further apart. One day before Kennedy's statement, a Rasmussen report poll revealed a majority of independent voters, as well as both Democrats and Republicans, had a favorable opinion of the candidate. While Democrats in particular continue to favor Biden over Kennedy and Marianne Williamson, likely voters as a whole were divided about the merits of a Biden-Harris ticket over a Trump-Kennedy ticket, a poll found. In a contest between President Biden and VP Kamala Harris, 44% of probable voters would support Trump-Kennedy, while 44% would support Biden-Harris. 7% would support a different candidate, and 5% are unsure. In such a contest, Trump-Kennedy would have the support of 41% of unaffiliated, 72% of Republicans, 20% of Democrats. Democrats would support Biden-Harris with 72% of the votes, 14 Republican and unaffected, 44. The poll was released as Kennedy seemed to push what some have called a populist agenda, rejecting some of the claims made by his party's most extreme members. For instance, Kennedy said last week one could be pro-immigration and pro-securing the border, a statement made while the U.S. has seen almost 5 million border crossers and illegal immigrants enter the country since Biden took office. America should be a land of freedom and wealth that welcomes immigrants who uphold the law and enrich our community. However, immigration must take place in a legal and orderly way. There's now anarchy at the border. Criminal activity, unacceptable stress on border states such as Texas, and human trafficking. It is a nightmare for humanity, Kennedy stated on social media. He's also publicly discussed American censorship, calling it a direct assault against our democracy. Now, there was a poll out there, not scientific. Biden says he can beat Trump easily in the 2024 election. Is he right? And yet the choice between yes, he is, no, Trump will win. Yes, he is garnered 3% of the vote. No, Trump will win 97. Fewer than 1,000 voting, but significant nevertheless. My dear friend Kevin Barrett, who's been very left, far more so than I over the years, has now just published why I'm almost ready to vote for Trump, even if he runs from death row. Kevin Barrett. Donald Trump is, Kevin writes, in many ways an odious figure. A narcissistic, semi-literate scoundrel who doesn't even pretend otherwise. His primary redeeming qualities are a talent for channeling populist outrage and a certain reluctance to engage in bloody, pointless wars. Normally, I only vote for people I like, such as Cynthia McKinney and RFK Jr., which is why I've never voted for a major party candidate in a general election. I doubt very much that my first ever vote for a mainstream candidate will be for the loathsome Trump. But the fake left oligarchs and their laptop media are working overtime to convince me to at least entertain the possibility. The thing is, the media, legal, and political landscape has grown so grotesquely one-sided that Trump claims that the system is rigged against him, which once seemed whiny and petulant, are increasingly being validated. Big media's deep state-assisted suppression of the Hunter Biden laptop story was, for many of us, the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back. Since that election-deciding outrage, it's been obvious and undeniable that just because Trump is paranoid doesn't mean they aren't out to get him. And the outrages just keep coming. As J. Mike Swingman and I remarked on False Flag Weekly News, this week's two big Trump events, his civil conviction for libel and sexual account, assault, and his CNN town hall battle with Caitlin Collins, almost seem to have been orchestrated to spotlight Trump's unfair treatment at the hands of the establishment. Jimmy Dore makes a good case that Trump's civil trial for sexual assault and defamation was a pure Democratic hit job. Dore points out that New York's bizarre one-year repeal of the statute of limitation was specifically designed to grease the skids for Carol V. Trump. Since when did governments start temporarily repealing statutes of limitations so they can go after political figures they don't like? The move seems especially egregious because it involved an almost three-decade-old case in which the alleged victim can't even remember which year the alleged assault happened and has no evidence whatsoever other than her word against yours. If you're going to do something as extreme as suspending the statute of limitations so you can prosecute a specific case, shouldn't you at least have some evidence? My advice to the Democrats is they might as well go all the way and prosecute Trump for murder. Why murder? For one thing, there's no statute of limitation on murder, so they won't have to bother suspending it. And just as Trump once said a stupid thing about grabbing women's genitals that made him sound like the kind of person who might do something like that. He also once said, I could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue and shoot someone and I wouldn't lose voters. So why not bring an evidence-free prosecution against him for shooting someone in the middle of Fifth Avenue? Just find someone willing to claim they saw Trump shoot someone to death in the middle of Fifth Avenue in 1995, or was it 1996? It will be their word against his. And we all know Trump is a liar. Why? Because the media never stops telling us so. So no New York jury could possibly fail to convict. And no New York judge could resist sentencing Donald J. Trump to death. Yes, I know New York suspended the death penalty in 2004, but they could temporarily change that, just like they temporarily removed the statute of limitations in order to dispose of Trump. But Trump has been convicted and sentenced to death. We'll all be able to breathe freely and get on with their lives, right? Not so fast. Trump lawyers will undoubtedly find a way to string out the appeals process, allowing him to become the first ever candidate to run for president from death row. But what happens when he wins the election and his scheduled rendezvous with the electric chair happens to coincide with inauguration day? Will Trump be chopped to Washington, D.C. in handcuffs on January 20th, 2025, frog march into the Capitol, administer the oath of office, and then strapped into a special portable electric chair designed just for him, and zapped like a bug? Will his hair turn an even brighter shade of orange and it burst into flame? The Democrats would no doubt view it as inadequate payback for the horrors Trump unleashed here on January 6, 2021. But still, Think of the ratings. Love it. Love it. Love it. Kevin, you outdid yourself. That was masterful. Meanwhile, a Washington Post ABC poll, Biden trails Trump, sees slipping approval rating, responded to by the anti-New York Times. Trump opens huge polling lead over Biden. Another day, another clear indicator that pilot patriots are now in control, that Donald has opened up a shocking 7-point lead over Joe Biden. In a Washington Post ABC News survey, results are shocking, not because of Trump's statistical advantage, of course. After all, he did, in fact, win the 2020 sting operation by a huge margin. Once all the voter fraud is discounted, no. The big surprise here is that two of the highest priesthood orders of the fake news, Judah and Press Church, Washington Post, and ABC, have actually conducted and published an honest poll. This is a very significant and telling development, because media polling fraud is a necessary advance support of Democrat voter fraud. Indeed, ABC, Washington Post had conducted 11 national polls in 2019, 2020. All 11 polls showed the pathetic Biden comfortably ahead of Trump. There was no fraud. The final results were consistent with all our polling data. That's how the con works. Well, there's a whole lot more going on here. We're about to hit the break. And I'm going to see if I can't get John Carman or Danny Siris to join me here. So give me a sec while we work on this. And if I'm lucky, I'll be able to arrange it. Meanwhile, though I can't hear it yet, I know we're hitting the break.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty good. It's just the way I was putting it together. Hey, I want to get that on the air.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm delighted to say John Carman has joined me. John has an extensive background, including Border Patrol, Secret Service, a host of others. Now, I've been piecing together what the hell has been going on here. And when I look at the mass migration taking place, and we got a flood, absolute flood of young, fit, military-age young men in El Paso, for example. You got 750 to 1,000 crammed into a little room that's supposed to hold only like 250. It appears to me, when I reflect on the discovery, that non-law enforcement agencies of the Biden administration, the Environmental Protection Agency, NASA, and a whole host of others have been accumulating massive quantities of weapons and ammunition. In fact, they've got a backlog over a billion rounds of hollow point. I've been trying to figure out what in the world did they need this vast stock of ammunition and weapons. Now it's obvious. You couldn't bring the army across the border armed. That would be too obvious. But bring them across in the midst of a huge number of other refugees, presumably as camouflage, have caches of weapons stocked where you can direct them where to find it, and then provide them with information they need for command and control by way of cell phones. I'm convinced that's what's going on. We're in the midst of an invasion. Biden's been planning this. Mayorkas is involved. Turns out there's a whole host of officials in the Biden admin who've never signed their oath to adhere to the Constitution and uphold it. John's telling me he's been onto this or something like this coming for some time, and I want to hear him elaborate. John, I'm just shocked what's going on here, and I posted a piece called What the Hell is Going On? Not only on my BitChute channel, on my Twitter channel, on Gab and elsewhere, and I encourage everyone, track it down and share it. Because the fate of the nation hangs in the balance. John, your thoughts.
I got to look at that real quick. I have been talking about the same stuff that's been going on for years, but then again, I'm a whistleblower from U.S. Customs. And you went over my background a little bit. Secret Service, San Diego PD, U.S. Mint, private investigator, then U.S. Customs at the border 15 years. And I don't even get a retirement of Social Security. That's what they do to whistleblowers. We've got people coming in, military age, young, healthy guys from all countries, not just Mexico. You know, OTMA is what we would say at the border. I also communicate with a guy named J.J. Carell, who is also on some of the other shows. He's just now coming out. He's reaffirming the information I've been telling for years. Biden administration, as you just indicated perfectly, is that they're bringing it in like a Trojan horse maneuver. They bring them in under whatever guise. The recent thing is the application on a cell phone. Now, I don't have a smartphone for security reasons, but they're giving them a CBP, Charles Baker Bravo, CBP rather, Customs Border Protection, ONE, one. That's the application they put on their smartphone. You indicated perfectly the same thing, is that they're giving these cell phones to these guys. That's how they're communicating with a massive army. All they have to do is tell them, report to this location for further orders. That's exactly what a military infiltration unit would do. There's people in the building that I live at are military. They have no idea, or they're part of it. So this is a major high treason offense by the president. Mayorkas, of course, is lying because they've got busloads of people coming from the border who are way through. They don't go through vetting. They don't have a passport. They don't have documentation to show they've seen a doctor. They don't have any proof that they don't have TB. I'm telling you right now, they're bringing in these healthy guys from Venezuela or wherever. And I've talked to the people that actually process these people through like special, not a detention center, but a processing center. Once they've been processed, they release them into the United States. They give them Social Security cards, identification in some cases, cash, like on a Bank of America card, $2,000 to $5,000 to $10,000, and they put them into the country. There are Americans on the street, and I'm almost homeless. Not to make it a personal thing, but you have to compare it. You have to understand, I see these people every day. I talk to people from foreign countries every day. I measure this stuff. It's not just Middle Eastern people who are terrorists on the terrorist watch list. 5 out of every 50 Middle Easterners, that's a big deal. They're just letting them in. So if they go to a hotel in Hotel Circle off Interstate 8 and some of the hotels down in San Diego, they're doing it. Hundreds, thousands. Title 42 is a dog and pony joke. That's all they're doing, a dog and pony show. They're going, oh, yeah, the Congress knows it. They do it all the time. They do this last-minute thing with McCarthy to get the Title 42 thing amended so they can keep it active. They're lying to you, folks. Everybody's being lied to, and they don't get it. That's how stupid people are in the United States right now. Oh, but Biden said this, and Mayorkas said that. So what? They're coming through the border. You're talking to actual border agents that worked at the border that are telling you this, and they still don't get it. How is that possible? Oh, my God, how is that possible? They don't get it. They're stupid. Just go back to work. Ignore what's going on. 9 to 5, you tax slave you, Joe. And I'm not joking. It's serious.
Oh, John, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more. And it's just astonishing what's taking place here. I believe even the Trump rape trial, I believe Biden traveling now, all are intended to be distractions, so we're not focusing on what's happening at the border, which is where the action is taking place. This is what's real. This is the threat to the United States. All the rest, even Ukraine at this point in time, is smoke and mirrors to obfuscate the reality that the United States is undergoing an actual physical invasion. I used to ask myself, well, but when they require training? And then it occurred to me, we actually have been training South American, Latin American forces for decades and decades through the School of the Americas, which they renamed to make it sound more innocuous. But these are groups that are trained in assassination, torture, murder, rape. I mean, John, they're bringing these people in to practice murder, assassination, looting, rape. We got a senator from Ohio, J.D. Vance, holding hearings about what are we going to do if we have 10 million people when we have a crisis in terms of homes. We can't even put our own homeless people in residences. So what are we going to do with all these migrants? Well, my opinion is among the motivators for them is they're going to get their own home. They're going to get their own neighborhoods. And John, it's your neighborhood. It's my neighborhood. It's your home. It's my home. All they have to do is kill the present occupants and it's theirs. I think that's part of the bargain. I am disgusted.
Yeah, I live in an apartment. There are places being torn down, used. The structures are perfectly able to be housed. There are homeless people in the streets. As soon as I leave here, I've only got like maybe 20 minutes to go because I have to go to a doctor's appointment. But they will do that. They are trained in other countries. We used to train people in Arizona in the desert if you're in the Middle East. So it's more adaptable to that type of training. But they'll put them in places that you wouldn't believe that most Americans wouldn't see. So we do train people. United Nations trains people. Mexico has all kinds of people being trained. Cartel is running down there. They have incursions in the United States on a daily basis. And they've actually had cartel or military people, military helicopters from Mexico, fire upon our border patrol. That's a violation of the Guadalupe Hidalgo Treaty of 1848. It's an act of war. Look it up, folks. Guadalupe Hidalgo, 1848. Anytime you arm people like the military at our own border, they're telling us, well, if we put armed troops at the border, that's a violation. Well, Mexico's violating it anyway. And who cares if we've got military people? Sending 1,500 military troops at the border, armed or not, is nothing. We need 10,000 military people at the border. We need 3,000 to 5,000 just to back up the border patrol. And there are sections of 100 miles plus all along the border from San Diego to Brownsville. If you get the thing on the visual, that whole border area is a drug corridor. 25 miles north of everywhere along the border from San Diego to Brownsville, Texas. And I was just recently contacting the sheriff's associations that are associated with those counties along the border. They're wimping out. I'm sorry to say. I've reached out to these people for over 20 years. Sheriff McLam, now there's a guy named Mark Lamb. He's in one of the counties in Pamal in Arizona. Joe Arpaio, of course, was there in Maricopa. A lot of these guys will do what they can, but as soon as they pick up an illegal, the U.S. government threatens them with violations of contempt of court because they're not cross-designated. Basically, border protection, ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, somehow took away their designator to work along hand-in-hand as a cross-designated or cross-trained immigration official so that when they pick up an illegal, they can detain him on a Border Patrol hold so that once they've finished a violation for either robbery, rape, some murder or some violation of any kind, even just going around and coming across the border not having identification, then they can hold them. They put a Border Patrol hold. That's what I used to arrest people on other violations when I was a police officer in San Diego. BP hold on the booking slip, and then they would notify them. They would pick them up. They're violating that. The U.S. government's violating it. So if a sheriff in any county from San Diego to Brownsville picks up illegals, they risk going to jail based on a contempt charge, which is what they threatened Joe Arpaio with then Trump stepped in and gave an immediate pardon. Where's Trump right now, folks? What are the J6ers doing this week? They're in prison. Nobody's coming to the rescue. Wake up. You need to arm yourselves. And if you haven't armed yourselves, you need to do it if you can do it. And any time the government has failed, it goes back to Second Amendment. Everything defaults back to Second Amendment. You're obligated as a patriot to defend yourself, defend your country. They're not doing it. Where's the military? They're following orders. Where have we heard that before? You know, World War II? You know, it's the same stuff. It recycles the same thing. And even the White House press secretary was asked specifically by Peter Ducey just recently, maybe yesterday or last 24 hours, about the border incursions. She literally took her folder, closed it up, and she had this real angry, stern look on her face and walked off. That's an obvious answer. She's not going to answer it because they're violating sovereign territory. They're committing high treason. 18 U.S.C. 2381. See what I mean? You give me the authority, credentials, and equipment, I'll go make the arrests. I know what to do. But people don't get that stuff. They're waiting till it gets to their doorstep, and it'll be too late.
Yeah, I worry about that. I've just had visions looking out on the street where I live and just thinking about hordes of migrants walking in my street, and what the hell am I going to do then? I mean, we need to deal with this before it gets too far north. But it looks to me like they've got this planned out very well, John. They have these caches of weapons distributed using the cell phones. This, I think, is why they had to get an imposter in there. No American who actually bore responsibility, who had a conscience, would be willing to oversee the destruction of America. So they got actors in latex masks. I've been documenting this forever. When this fake Biden went to Ireland, he scratched behind his neck and he bubbled up the rubber on the latex mask. We've got a granddaughter of Biden saying her grandfather died years ago, but the family wanted to keep its hand in the politics, and they have other members playing the role of Biden wearing masks. He appears to have died then. I've been showing videos of the real Biden from 2008 with this guy now. And the real Biden, very articulate, uses his hand, very expressive, has a lot to say, good face, old gestures, the whole bit. I'm not wild about his politics, but certainly as a performer, he even reminded me of myself. This present guy, by comparison, is like a mummified version. He can hardly walk and hardly talk. He doesn't use any hand gestures. He's not articulate. It's really disgraceful. So they needed a puppet. They needed a puppet because no American would actually preside over the destruction of America. This is to be the last presidency, John, a disposable presidency for a disposable nation.
It's an interesting point, and I'll address it from my identification behavioral analysis expertise. And Obama is running the operation from the U.S. side. By the way, Biden supposedly did have some sort of skull surgery years ago. At least that's the excuse I've heard. If they do that, they have to cut around the backside. And I've discussed this with somebody 5 years ago who was familiar with these surgeries. They cut around the hairline in the back. They fold over the scalp to expose the skull area that they're going to enter through. They have to cut through the bone, do the manipulation, or what are they going to do to the brain? Supposedly that he was having this activity done because of a pedophile activity or overt acts on children and things like that. They would fold it back over after the surgery to the back, restitch it up, and let it heal over. That's one logical explanation. And I've seen, if you saw a movie Face Off, even the actor,
It was John Travolta and Nicolas Cage.
An example. But I want to tell you something about identification, because I've done this at the border. I've processed 4 to 5 million people or humans at the border. Your eye sockets will not change. The distance between the eye sockets will not change on the skull, and the retinas are basically measured the same, unless you've got some other severe eye socket damage or eyeball damage. So you can measure a photo and measure the distance on any photos with Biden that you may have, whether or not you have the nose, the lips, and I also look at the ears in particular, especially on Elvis photos. I've debunked so many Elvis stories, you wouldn't believe it. Oh, it's Reverend, what's his face? And I say, no, it's not. And even that guy has denied it. Bob Joyce. Yeah, that's the guy's name. And if you look at his ears, he's got very gigantic ears compared to Elvis. Elvis has smaller chipmunk size, if you want to be funny about it. And it's not the same guy. Now, of course, you're going to get some person out there who says, oh, but they could have had plastic surgery. Well, then, yeah, but go back to the eye sockets, the lips, and the nose, eyes, ears, and all that. Marks, scars, tattoos, and any of those things. And even Princess Di looks like Princess Di on her photo that I've seen, and they claim it was not age progressed. Anything is possible. He fluctuates, the character you've referred to. I've seen the video where somebody looks like him had a tattoo on the back upper shoulder blades and the trapezius muscles, allegedly whipping a female in some video. That was not him. This guy was too muscular compared to Joe Biden that fell down on the bicycle when he was visiting up in Vermont or wherever it was that he goes to a lot. You see what I mean? There's all these variables, but either way, they could put a body double. They could put a doppelganger that's been doing, it's been happening for years. Even Uncle Adolf, that I joke about, had a doppelganger that was Bart at the bunker, and he was off. The real Uncle Adolf was over there in Argentina, in Baralosh. They don't want you to know these things. The CIA laughs at us, or Americans in general, and the world, because they get away with that. I look at the eyes very carefully. Look at the color of the eyes. The retinas aren't going to change unless something else is done, or CGI, you know, where they manipulate the video and stuff like that. But it's always, like you said, look over there in the grassy knoll. Even Trump may be part of this thing. I'm not going to wait for Dominion servers. We voted last time. It didn't work, did it? He's going to fit into one of those Al Gore situations. Who's the real president? 1871, the Republican president of the Republic, the 19th. What's he doing? There's no army behind him. There's no generals. They had 200 generals that said they were going to back him up to reinstate and get the thing back to the Republic of the United States, of the 1871 documentation of the Declaration and so forth, that would reinstate us back to that, not that commercial thing with the gold French, the sovereignty thing. You know, it's unbelievable what they're doing. But yet nobody's taking action. They're afraid to pull triggers. They're afraid to arrest people under the Constitution as a patriot. I always quote Thomas Jefferson, who has a similar birthday, April 13th, same date. The tree of freedom has to be fed with the blood of tyrants and patriots from time to time, as it is its natural manure, unquote. It's time, folks. If they think that thing at the Capitol was an insurrection, that was just a camp out with a bunch of Girl Scouts. That was nothing. And that was not an insurrection. They had FBI there. They had people dressed up, Antifa and BLM. They always have infiltrators, Jim. I've seen this at the border. I've seen this in riots. They have mom and pop, little Marias at the border with candles and crucifixes. Old people come up front. As soon as you go up to divert them back to where they came, or when they take the American flag out and burn it, you leave it alone. It's already been desecrated. Some Border Patrol guy was trying to step on it. I said, no, they've got cameras. There's cameras all throughout the crowd. Those are the infiltrators. They want to get a picture of you trying to put out a fire with your foot. Don't do it. It's already been desecrated. Leave it alone. Let it burn. That's what they would have to do to an American flag once it's hit the ground and is desecrated anyway. There's a procedure for that. You see what I mean? They're trying to twist it into a psychological warfare thing to the old communists back in the 40s and the 50s, that kind of thing. The United States has become the true Satan, you know, like what the Ayatollah Khomeini's would say in Iran. We're there. You see what I mean? I'm sure you'll kind of get on that one, too. But And I talk to Middle Eastern people. In fact, my dentist is a Syrian. Those people are good people that I deal with. But I also vet these other guys that are trying to get into me that are not. They will lie to you and claim that they may be Christian, and you have to vet them. Have they been baptized? Well, no, I wasn't able to go get baptized. Well, then don't talk to me. Don't waste my time. I ask them all kinds of other questions to vet them. If they can't answer it, then they're playing games. So we have San Diego alone is second only to Michigan in the amount of Muslims, just to pick on that stat, to anywhere else in the world. So if you think you're going to pick a certain place and they've got certain people put there, well, they are. But remember, there was a certain term, I couldn't remember what it was, but the management turned pink in San Diego County for years. The federal agencies are putting LGBTQ people in those categories. That's what they're doing. It's a special political change, a sociological change in the structure of the government because of all this LGBTQ stuff. That's why we talked about and had that thing about the Audrey Hale shooting. Did you know they still haven't released her
manifesto?
And it's a big deal because it's top secret now. Oh, it's national security now. Really?
That whole thing was a total fraud, John. I mean, she has a long neck. The shooter had a short neck. He was wearing red and white, black and white sneakers coming in. The body had red sneakers of a different brand. The whole thing was fraudulent. Nobody was there. It was empty. The parking lot was empty. I'm delighted you can join me, John. I know you have a dental appointment today. So, I mean, I'm just thrilled to get you in here for this segment. I want to thank you so very much. Your expertise makes a real difference here. And I look forward to having you back. We've hit the break. You and I can't hear it, John, but we've hit the break.
Yeah. Okay, I'll just sign off.
Thanks so much. Excellent. You got it, John. Bye now.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
And we must fight back! You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, it was great that John Carman could join us for that segment because of his expertise with regard to custom border control, Secret Service, and a host of other issues. Here's a report now from Gateway Pundit. Migrant Processing Center in El Paso packed with illegal aliens. Nearly all are military-age males. Dated May 14th, yesterday. Hordes of illegal aliens have stormed the border since Title 42 expired on Friday. Title 42, a Trump-era policy that forced migrants seeking asylum to remain in Mexico while their immigration case worked its way through the system, expired. Thousands of illegals passed through the Migrant Processing Center in El Paso on Friday. There's a maximum capacity of 120. But 750 were packed in like sardines. Nearly all 750 illegals are military-age males, not a woman or a child in sight. This is an invasion. Meanwhile, earlier, dated the 12th, invasion begins. Video purportedly shows illegals opening DHS packets with smartphones. Some court dates not until 2035. Title 42, the Trump pandemic public health restriction that became a key tool in turning back illegals at the border, has officially come to an end. Video and images emerging from the border all so far are disturbing. Independent journalist Taylor Hansen released a clip on social media reportedly showing some illegals opening up packets from DHS. DHS, which is supposed to be protecting us, which include government-issued smart forms and directives to appear to court dates at many years in the future, but now have long since disappeared. Here's Taylor tweeting, Brownsville, Texas. Migrants open their DHS packets and use their government-issued cell phones after being processed and receiving court dates. Some migrants have shown me their court dates as far out as 2027. Rebecca Brandon, another independent journalist, also posted images of illegal immigrants using smartphones and reviewing directives to attend court dates at far out at 4 years from now. She also noted some of the illegals she spoke with weren't simply from South America, but also Chinese nationals. After a brief initial processing, migrants are given papers for a notice to appear. Most court dates I've seen are dated 2027, 4 years from now, Bronin wrote. Some are also given new phones and a bus ticket to a state where they provided an address of a sponsor or family already here in the country. After a brief initial processing, migrants are given papers for notice to appear, she tweeted. We have video of it. You won't be able to see it until you watch or unless you watch the video version of the show. I'm going to play just a little bit. But the fact of the matter is that there's just miles and miles of migrants storming the United States, and Biden is doing nothing about it. And I'll explain why they had to have a fake Biden. Because no American with a conscience would allow this to happen. So they had to have a stooge, a stand-in, someone who's not a real person, a disposable president for a disposable nation. Just stunning stuff. Now, here's the key discovery which had come to mind to me that put the pieces together. Non-law enforcement agencies like IRS and EPA spending billions on guns and ammo, Watchdog says. Federal agencies, non-law enforcement, have spent nearly $4 billion in taxpayer funds on guns, ammo, and other military-style equipment. That's to be used against us. They're using our taxpayer money to buy weapons to give these illegals to use against us. 76 rank-and-file agencies outside of traditional law enforcement, or the DOD, have spent $3.7 billion on guns, ammo, and military-style equipment, according to the watchdog group Open the Books. They include the National Institutes of Health. Hey, you know how the National Institutes of Health needs weapons to defend itself. NASA. The Environmental Protection Agency, the Small Business Administration, among others, that historically have played little to no role in law enforcement activities whatsoever. Federal agencies have ramped up spending on weapons and ammo under the Biden handpick. You have to ask yourself, why in the hell is that happening? The report comes as the Biden admin works to hire 87,000 new IRS employees, and you may or may not have got the memo. But a requirement is willingness to use lethal force on American 87,000 new IRS employees. Meanwhile, J.D. Vance, this is a Republican senator from Ohio. We cannot, as a country, absorb 10 million people and still provide high-quality housing to the rest of our citizens. Republican Ohio Senator J.B. Vance spoke about the negative effect that unfettered or illegal immigration is having on the American housing market. Vance explained, although we have millions of new arrivals looking for housing, the amount of housing has not increased nearly enough, making the market unstable and much more competitive. As Vance put it, the math just doesn't add up. I want to focus on one of the under-discussed components of the housing crisis in our country today, said Vance, and that is its connection to mass illegal immigration. And just to put a fine point and explain where I'm coming from, why I'm raising this issue, I think a lot of our friends on the other side of the aisle have convinced themselves that lax immigration is somehow a compassionate thing to do. We cannot, as a country, absorb 10 million people and still provide high-quality housing to the rest of our citizens. The math doesn't work. The numbers don't make sense. The increase in housing prices and rents is clear for all to see. Here's Joni Job tweeting. At the rate of 10,000 a day, it'll only take 10 days to reach my city population of 102,000. We already have homeless people galore. America's in the midst of a housing shortage. Affordable housing options are shrinking, and there's an ongoing spike in the housing costs. Vance, we cannot as a country absorb 10 million people and still provide high-quality housing for the rest of our citizens. The math doesn't work. The numbers don't make sense. Here he is, speaking about it.
I want to focus on, you know, one of the under-discussed components of the housing crisis in our country today, and that is its connection to mass illegal immigration. And just to sort of put a fine point and explain why where I'm coming from on that and why I'm raising this issue is I think that a lot of our friends on the other side of the aisle have convinced themselves that lax immigration is somehow a compassionate thing to do. And yet if you take 5 to 10 million people and you introduce them into a country over 2 years, and you're talking about you increase the demand for housing because those 5 to 10 million people need housing, while at the same time, the supply of housing is relatively inelastic. So with that in mind, there are a couple pieces of research that we've sort of been looking at just as I focus on this particular issue. You do see very predictable increases in housing costs and rents when you have mass immigration into a country, into a metro area, even into a county. Combine that increase in rents and increase in housing costs with another unusual component of the effect on mass immigration and housing costs, and it's that in the neighborhood where you have the highest inflow of immigration, you also have declining home prices. So if you take those two pieces of evidence together, what you basically get is rich people who have homes in low immigration areas benefit from our mass immigration policies, and everybody else finds the American dream of home ownership further and further away because we've effectively invited 5 to 10 million people into our country to break our laws. I think that we talk too much about this, not that the law enforcement component doesn't matter, not that the fentanyl overdoses don't matter. They matter a great deal to the people of Ohio. We cannot as a country absorb 10 million people and still provide high quality housing to the rest of our citizens. It just doesn't, the math doesn't work. The numbers don't make sense. The increase in housing prices and rents is clear for all to see.
I think he's very, very thoughtful. Putting these pieces together has prompted me to tweet, huge. $5 billion unarmed by non-law enforcement agencies. Now it makes sense. Army crossing border plus caches of arms equals U.S. war. This is an invasion. Biden orchestrated it. The nation is under attack. They will take our homes and kill us. It's happening now. The numbers don't make sense unless you assume the 10 million illegals are going to displace 10 million homeowners right here in the United States in your neighborhood and mine. Your home and mine. I was thinking about how when they require training, however, and then I began thinking about how the U.S. had been training these hit squads forever, as I've mentioned previously in my conversation with John Carman. Well, Leslie Gilt published in 2004, The School of the Americas. Military training and political violence in the Americas. Leroy trained these guys. Located at Fort Benning in Columbus, Georgia, the School of the Americas is a U.S. Army center that trained more than 60,000 soldiers and police, mostly from Latin America, in counterinsurgency and combat-related skills since it was founded in 1946. So widely documented is the participation of the school's graduates in torture, murder, and political repression throughout Latin America. Then in 2001, the school officially changed its name to the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation. Leslie Gill goes beyond the facade and presents a comprehensive portrait of the School of the Americas. Talking to a retired Colombian general accused by international human rights organization of terrible crimes, sitting in on classes, accompanying School of American students and their families to an upscale local mall, listening to coca farmers in Colombia and Bolivia conversing with anti-School of America activists in cramped office of the School of the Americas Watch, Gill exposes the school's institutionalization of state-sponsored violence, a havoc it has wrought in Latin America, and the strategies used by activists seeking to curtail it. Based on her unprecedented level of access to School of the Americas, Gill describes the school's mission and training methods, reveals how its students, alumni, and officers perceive themselves in relation to the dirty wars that have raged across Latin America. Assessing the school's role in U.S. empire building, she shows how Latin America's brightest and most ambitious military officers are indoctrinated into a stark good versus evil worldview. Just think of it. They've been all over the place. Nicaragua, Colombia, Venezuela, you name it. Chile, executing Kurds, performing assassination, bringing about murders, all trained by the USA at the School of the Americas. Well, they're coming to your neighborhood now. Only they're not killing Chileans or Nicaraguans or Ecuadorians. They're killing Americans. That's what they're coming here for. Mark my words. Meanwhile, a federal judge made clear who is to blame for border crisis and halts Biden migration parole program. This is dated May 12th. This is the 15th, 3 days ago. A federal judge late Thursday temporarily halted the Biden admin plan to parole migrants who illegally cross the southern border. For 2 years, the Biden admin has released migrants without giving them a court date. Through the Alternatives to Detention program, migrants without a court date are tracked and required to check in using a phone application. The program was designed to prevent migrants from disappearing into the shadows while they await their court dates. But the admin prepared a new parole program this week to release migrants from custody without a court date or in any way to track them. Late Thursday evening, just hours before Title 42 ended, U.S. District Judge T. Kent Weatherall ordered the Biden admin to stand down, issuing a two-week restraining order against the policy. His ruling came after Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida filed a lawsuit asking for a temporary restraining order. In his ruling, Weatherall explained there's no material difference between the new parole program and the catch and release program that he struck down as unconstitutional 2 months ago. Weatherall also admonished the Biden admin for claiming that halting the parole program would cause chaos. Any chaos, the judge said, is Biden's own doing. Now, interestingly, they have embedded in this article, what the hell is happening here? Videos from the same day seem to show Biden looking very different. People have questions. This is two different crisis actors being used to impersonate Joe on the same day. The shape of the skull is different. The eyes are very different. The nose is different. The mouth is different. Not the same guy. I've been talking about this for years. Here's the original Joe Biden on the left. You'll see this in the video. Big smile, goes from ear to ear. Here's the fake Joe Biden, kind of a half smile. Not the same at all. Different eyes, completely different. Different skull, different expression, different signatures. Different shape and size of skull. You can have your hair cut or grow it long. You can change it, bleach it, dye it. You can stand up and sit down and still be the same guy. But you can't have one type of skull transformed into another. It can't be done. It's a permanent property. When you're born and you grow, you got one skull. You're not allowed to swap it out. Here's more of the fake actor. This is a mask. You can see a latex mask coming down on the neck of the Joe Biden mask. Just disgusting. Now here, I actually played a video from 2008 of the real Joe Biden. Wait till you watch this. Now, among the points I make, he's very expressive. His face is very expressive. He uses lots of hand and arm gestures. He's very articulate with his body when he speaks, just as am I, Jim Fetzer. So I noticed this right away, looking at the real Joe from 2008. This is a guy who in his speaking and so forth is very much like me. The guy in the Oval Office, however, is like a cadaver or a mummified version. Check it out when you get a chance to watch. Here we go.
There's a lot at stake. And how we end this war, it makes a big difference. How we end this war. And it makes a big difference to tell the American people the truth about what our options are in ending this war. If tomorrow the order goes out from the president, I'm president of the United States, I issue an order, end the war today, begin to withdraw all American troops. It will take a year to get the American troops out. You hear me now? That's the truth. It will take a year to get them physically out. Now, if you leave all the equipment behind, you might be able to do it in 7 months. And you leave those billions of dollars of weapons behind, I promise they're going to be used against your grandchild and mine someday.
All kinds of hand gestures there, very expressive. Compare with his nebbish they have in the White House calling himself Joe Biden.
My name is Joe Biden. I'm Dr. Joe Biden's husband. And I ate Jenny's ice cream, chocolate chip. I came down because I heard there was chocolate chip ice cream. By the way, I have a whole refrigerator full upstairs. I think I'm kidding. I'm not. Gosh. Ben, how are you, pal? One of the best guys in the United States Congress, Ben Cardin. Folks,
it's just embarrassing. This guy pretends to be the president.
Who are those good-looking kids back there?
They're your kids, all four of them? Well, stand up, guys.
Even
can you jump back in here? Considering the moment,
we were told that the
shooting that just happened left three children dead, three adults dead, shooters dead, and we were told you would be addressing this off the top.
Yeah, it's rather surprising. I thought that a somber President Biden would have come to the podium here and addressed this school shooting.
That, of course, was Nashville they're talking about, which was completely fraudulent. But for him to come down and joke around about his name and being the husband of Dr. Jill Biden and liking chocolate chip ice cream is ridiculous. Here we had further confirmation this is a fraud from Ireland. He's wearing a mask. When he reaches back to scratch the back of his neck, the latex bubbles up. Again, you'll be able to see it in the video version on my BitChute channel. Here it is.
And he was a very conservative guy. He was very, very...
Oh, my God, that's a man. Holy cow.
Just really awful. I'm going to play it again.
He was a very conservative guy. He was very, very...
Oh, my God, that's a man.
It all bubbles up. So I put it on piece called What the Hell is Going on the 13th. What the hell is going on? You want to check this out. It's on my BitChute channel. It's on my Twitter. It's on Gab. You want to share this with everyone because they need to understand what's going on. America is under invasion. It is taking place now. As John used to pray, a Trojan horse. They're concealing this invading army coming across the Rio Grande into the United States, surrounding him with a bunch of families and other riffraff. But the fact is, most of these are military-age young men. They're coming across without their weapons. Meanwhile, the Biden administration is stocked up on the weapons. They have caches distributed around the country. They need to communicate to coordinate for command and control. They've given them cell phones in order to do that. It's being orchestrated by the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, it's just disgusting what's taken on in the United Nations, it appears. I have several friends now telling me there's a UN document about the weaponization of migration to destroy America. But I have no doubt, ultimately, this is an Israeli plan. This is an Israeli agenda. This is a Khazarian mafia. This is the Rothschild wanting to destroy America. Why? Well, we've been too successful. We're too free. We're too independent. They want slaves. They want stooges. They're involved in gross depopulation of the world, and we are being targeted now. Thank God we still have the Second Amendment, because that is all that can save us now. They have, since they began defunding the police in the wake of the George Floyd fake death, and it too was fake. If you want more about this, check out Deception Galore for my 2020 False Flag and Conspiracy Conference. You can go to my blog at jameshfetzer.org, and under events, you'll see the three False Flag and Conspiracy Conference I've had in 2022, 2021, and 2020. And in 2020, you can download all the videos, download Deception Galore, where I go through the false flags, the phony events involving George Floyd, involving Jussie Smollett, involving a race car driver with a noose, which was just an ordinary pull-down handle that they then cut down and replaced with something that looked more like a noose. We're being played all the time. Once you saw the rioting taking place with huge crowds, burning, looting, arson, you knew you were not secure. If you didn't arm yourself, you'd be up a creek without a paddle. So after all these fake shootings and the like, the American people have armed themselves. Thank God for that. When we come back after the break, I'll take your calls.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
I'd like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Oh, this is your host, Jim Fetzer. I am a former Marine Corps officer. This is not a drill. This is not a joke. This is not a ruse. America is being invaded right now under the guise of refugees being brought in. It's been obvious from the beginning Biden wanted open borders, because at Title 42, there were certain restrictions that enabled a lot of them to be returned. But they've taken off the mask. There's no pretense about it. Everything that's going on now is very, very open. They're simply hoping the American people are going to be too slow to put the pieces together to figure out what's actually going on. If you do not own firearms, I cannot encourage you strongly enough, acquire firearms, something you're comfortable with. It could be as simple as a shotgun. A shotgun's very effective. Blow people away. You don't have to be totally accurate. Point it in the right direction. Pull the trigger. Whammo. If you're more sophisticated, have a combination of handguns and semi-automatic rifles. Have them with the same ammunition, use the same caliber, whether it's 9mm or 223 or whatever, so you don't have to mess around with two different types of ammo. You don't want any confusion to occur when the time comes. It would be very well advised to prepare yourself, even if this is something you never contemplated doing in your life. Brian, join the conversation.
Yeah, just a few things that I've noticed around here that's different is I went to the coffee shop Friday to buy a cup of coffee, and they wouldn't take
tell
cash.
Us where. Tell us where, Brian, when you say around here. Tell us where.
In Kansas City, Missouri. Okay. And I live in the hood, so this is in a nicer part of town, and they wouldn't take cash. That's something new. I said, you know, why aren't you taking cash? And they said, well, we've had a lot of burglaries in the neighborhood now, and so we don't take cash anymore. So I thought, well, that's the old Hegelian dialectic. It's part of why they're flooding us with all these people so they can get their CBDCs. It's a good excuse for central bank digital currency. The other thing I found interesting is my brother was a pilot for Delta, and he had to go to the airport here recently in Atlanta, Georgia. And he said there's a homeless encampment in the restroom of the Atlanta airport. He went in and there were feces on the floor and it was flooded with illegals, and that his wife tried to go to the ladies' restroom and it was so full of illegals and panhandlers, she wouldn't even go in there. She just saw all this outside and left. And so he called my sister to say it. So, you know, we're starting to see it hit around here, where before I'd never had these kind of problems. So anyway.
I think that's very telling. All those stories are valuable data points, Brian. Valuable data points. Do you have any doubt about the scenario I'm sketching here today? Because in my opinion, this is as alarming as it gets. This is as serious as it gets. This is literally an invasion of the United States, aided and abetted by the Department of Homeland Security and the Biden administration, which ostensibly has the obligation to protect us. By the way, I have multiple reports that high officials in Biden have never signed the oath to commit themselves to following the Constitution. I think they've done that just to be evasive of one kind of legal charge they're not going to be guilty of, because they're blatantly violating the Constitution. Your thoughts?
Yes, I agree. And everything you're saying, and what I think of, I go back to the voting, okay? If we had legitimate voting, they wouldn't be able to do any of this, okay? Because the American people...
Thanks for calling. Give your name and number, and I'll get back to you.
Keep going, Brian. Yeah, Mitchell's trying to track Paul, who called in and then dropped. We're going to get him.
Oh.
We'll get him. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, so, you know, this is all because of the Dominion voting machine problem. So without that, they wouldn't be able to do these things. So anyway.
I mean, without stealing the election, he could have put a fake Biden in to preside over the destruction of America, a disposable president for a disposable country. Mitchell, I'd welcome your thoughts, my friend. If we can ferret out Paul, that would be wonderful. I'd be glad for him to join us. Mitchell.
Oh, I'm sure Paul's lurking around somewhere real close by.
I'm loaded and ready.
Oh, there you are, Paul. Well, come on in. Join the conversation.
Go ahead, Paul. Let it rip.
Go for it.
Locked and loaded. So there's multiple uses for the Second Amendment here. So, Brian, you know, it's not legal for them to refuse cash. So what you probably should do is take your weapon of choice to the coffee shop and give them the option. Say, listen, you can take the $5 here I'm offered for your coffee, or you can have the 50-cent bullet coming out of the end of my weapon. What's your choice?
Of course, that makes you a criminal, right, on the spot. But go ahead.
Well, you know, you could do, you know, slap a suit on them. But in actuality, there are provisions in the law that, you know, they cannot refuse. You know, cash is legal tender. Okay, there's legal tender laws, and so if they're offering, you know, legal tender, okay, this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. That's what it says right on it. So you can actually get it on, you know, get it recorded on a cell phone and slap a small claims settlement. You know, I mean, you can't have an attorney in small claims. So therefore, the owner of the company and or the manager of the shop or whatever is going to have to show up to court and testify. And probably, you know, they won't even get that far, because when you send your demand letter, before you file in small claims, you have to send a demand letter. So basically, you just write a demand letter and say, listen, I was in your shop, wanted to buy a cup of coffee. I was refused, even though I was offering, you know, legal tender. And, you know, just ask for damages, ask for what you want. And then when they refuse to pay you, you can go to court. But probably if you ask for, say, $100 or $200, they'll probably just pay you. That's what I would do. Anyway, regarding the border, I mean, let's face it, this is only going to end one way. You know, we know what that way is. Okay. I was actually going to joke, Jim, that you talked about the fact that you don't know what you would do if they were walking down the street in your neighborhood, right? And, I mean, listen, this is what we're faced with. I mean, sooner or later, we're going to have to shoot them. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, the government is giving them the red carpet treatment. They're welcoming them. The government is our enemy in cooperation with the international you-know-whos, and they're funding this. These people are not just deciding one day to get up in their country of origin and say, you know, I'm going to make the journey to America, right? I mean, that does happen to those right south of the border in Mexico, but there are organized, you know, rings, if you want to call it that, as well as the so-called NGOs, and they're orchestrating this whole thing, paying for it. It's more than obvious, and that's a racial war. As far as the military age thing, Jim, you know, okay, it's a legitimate thing to talk about, but there's very, very small chance that the vast majority of these male immigrants of fighting age are ever going to pick up a weapon and shoot any of us, okay? Because, number one, it's something that they just don't want to do. They're coming here for economic reasons. Most of them want to have a better life. They're not part of a trained army from somewhere else. And killing a human being is not any, you know, small chore. In fact, there's a book called On Killing. I forget who the author is, but I remember hearing it decades ago, actually, probably back in the 90s, it was a discussion point on an FM call-in show where they had the author on, and it was essentially about the military's experience with, you know, training soldiers, you know, to kill. And, you know, there's a lot of psychological data in there. And the average person is actually quite reluctant, even in a combat situation where you're a soldier and, you know, you're supposed to be killing other soldiers. The average person is actually quite reluctant to shoot and kill. So, you know, these people that are not trained soldiers and not here with a military mission and not under the direct command and not in a combat situation, there's pretty much zero chance that on their own they're going to go out and just shoot an American for no reason. So I don't think we have anything. Yeah, go ahead.
I've been suggesting that just as the School of the Americas has been training these vicious armies in Latin and South America, I suspect a whole lot of those who are being brought across the border have already been trained. That's my conjecture.
I would say that the percentage of them that has, quote, already been trained in this manner that you're saying is probably pretty small. It's my guess. We're just speculating here. But again, I would go back to the point that's, so what? In other words, if you're told that you're going to go to America, right, which is where a lot of these people want to go, apparently, right, and you're going to be able to, you know, get subsidized housing and or, you know, food vouchers and a debit card and a cell phone, they're just going to go, okay, fine, I'll take the training. I mean, it's like the sort of person that takes these courses before they get a job, right? Nowadays, you have to go through sexual harassment training and, you know, that kind of crap. I had to go through, quote, sexual harassment training before I got hired at the last couple of jobs I had going back 3-4 years. You know, I don't want to do it, but you just do it. So these guys are probably just going to say, okay, I'll go through this course. But meanwhile, they have no intention to shoot any American once they get here. Not saying it's not a concern, okay? And I'm not saying we should not repel the invasion with firepower, because that's what the average American wants to do. We know the government's our enemy because they will move against us. They will prosecute us if we go down there and try to enforce our own immigration laws that are supposed to protect us. All this crap about court hearings, this has been going on since the 90s. And, you know, it's just all the nonsense you get with these Jews. You know, the biggest mistake we ever made was to let Jews in large numbers into this country, because they always do the same thing throughout history. They always undermine the existent culture in which they are, and they do the same kind of stuff. They facilitate the invasion of, shall we say, an out-group. And they do it for any number of reasons, but mostly because they're just wackos, they're psychopaths.
Well, where are these millions of people going to live, Paul? Where are they going to go? If they aren't going to take our homes, where the hell are we going to put them?
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, apparently, you know, I mean, where you live is a fairly small town, or, like, you know, I think it's described as a village. But out
yes.
here where I'm at, and I'm getting ready to get out of here, but it's basically a megalopolis, okay? It's essentially from, if you're familiar with the San Francisco Bay Area, what it looks like from the tip of the peninsula
yeah.
at the bottom of the Golden Gate in San Francisco going south all the way down the peninsula to the San Jose, South Bay area, and then going up the other side of the bay, all the way up to Oakland and Berkeley. This is a huge megalopolis with probably, my guess would be, 10 million plus people. The greater San Jose area has well over a million. And all I can tell you is from what I see around here, they're building, building, building. I see these big block apartment buildings going up everywhere. I think you've probably heard Dave Scorpio talk about this before, that he went across the country on a couple of trips here and there, and he saw these same, you know, 4-5-story big block-long apartment complexes going up all over the place. So that's
really?
Why he, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had the same thing here. I'm sorry. Remember, Jim, I talked about it in my neighborhood. There was a residential neighborhood with ranch-style homes, and suddenly – they closed it off. I guess they bought them all out or whatever they did. And it looks like Bakhmut before the Bakhmut, you know, Ukrainian war, those Soviet style, long, tall apartment complexes. And then we had a hospital in my neighborhood. They tore down the hospital and they put all that crap up. And it's right by like a Dollar General and a Aldi, yeah, so that you could be in that 15-minute, you know, new whatever it is. So, and
right.
One thing I want to point out, Jim, where I agree with you is if we look at what happened to Muammar Gaddafi in Libya, they started that revolution against him with outsiders with cell phones. And if you lived in Libya, you got $50,000 when you got married to buy a house. You got free education anywhere in the world that you wanted to go to get educated. You were given free farmland in his new agricultural area he was building off that huge volume of water that's under Libya in the desert. You know, you were in a paradise living in Libya, and they were able to with cell phones and bringing in some people, completely overthrow that government. You know, gas was like 15 cents a gallon. He used all the proceeds from that Libyan oil, which is like some of the best on the planet, for his people. And they still managed to do that to him. So I can imagine what's in store for us with those cell phones. I think those cell phones are, you know, there's a certain percentage of them are trained to do just what they did in Libya. So
I want to hear more about these structures going up all over the country. You're both familiar in Scorpio, but I am not. Tell me more. I mean, these are to house millions of migrants. That's what it sounds like.
Well, all I can tell you is, you know, I watched the war in Ukraine, and I'm watching them, you know, bombing Bakhmut, you know, which is basically Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union. And they're the same. You've seen, all you have to do if you want to see them is get on South Front and watch them bombing Bakhmut, and you'll see those apartment complexes. You know, there will usually be like 6 or 7 of these long complexes all together in one area, and they'll be facing different directions. And so I've got 2 of them around me, and I live in the hood, you know.
They sound utterly pedestrian. I mean, like they're just totally routine, as though they were virtually like prison cells in effect. Tell me more, Paul.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody refers to them as stack and pack. And, you know, they're basically rectilinear cubicles, however you want to look at it. In most cases, not all, but in most cases, they're fairly uninteresting, and they're massive out here in the Bay Area. I mean, you would be shocked if you were just take a little tour in one day. You would in six, seven hours, I could drive you around, and we wouldn't have to go any further than like 15 to 20 miles in any direction. And that's just, you know, we're not going to cover much ground. It's basically between here and San Francisco. It's right around 70 miles. But if I just took you where I'm at within 15, 20 miles in any direction, we're just going to see so many of these things, Jim. And some of them are huge. They're like mega cities. I did a little delivery gig for a while, and I used to hate – all delivery drivers hate to go into these things. I mean, apartment complexes in general are not that fun, but these things are just like, oh, my God, you have to really You got to stop at the gate. You got to look at the map. In some cases, you got to have the recipient of the item or the package on the phone as he guides you into exactly where he is in his little cubicle in this complex. And this is what they're doing to us. And this is why Dave said on multiple of his shows, and I kind of agree with him, that he was not thinking this whole vaccine genocide was really going to occur the way people were predicting and the so-called Deagle nonsense, because they are definitely planning for a population increase, and it's not going to be white people. So they're essentially moving the third world into here, okay? It's pretty easy to see with your own eyes. It doesn't take a lot of speculation or conspiracy theory. And if you recall the fires out here, like the Santa Rosa fires and the Paradise fires, well, there's a guy that just did a video recently and showed where they burnt out a bunch of stuff in Santa Rosa. One of them was a big, like, mobile home park, trailer park. Well, guess what they're building now? A big high-density housing unit complex right where the old trailer park used to be that they burned it out. So this is about – a lot of it is about real estate profiteering. I just sent you a video, I think, yesterday or early this morning, Jim, about how simple – it's a very short clip about how simple this is in terms of real estate developers and kickbacks and so on. I mean, they're getting land on the cheap, similar to what they did with the burning out of sections of cities, right? This, all the property in that area is going to be super low price now, and developers come in, they buy it on the cheap, and you know, it just was all courtesy of the Black Lives Matter destruction, or as I mentioned here with the Santa Rosa fire, the directed energy weapon destruction to change the real estate use of that piece of property.
Well, tell me the outcome, Paul. How do you foresee this as playing out then? What is the master plan as far as you can discern it?
Well, I mean, as you know, white birth rate is much lower than the birth rates of these beaners, mestizos, or these Arabs. The Asians don't have the high birth rate like the mestizos or the Arabs, but they're, believe me, they're bringing all kinds of Arabic people here, as well as, you know, mestizos from Central and South America, Mexico, and you know, some blacks here and there. There's in the Bay Area, it's nice because we don't have a lot of blacks. There are certain neighborhoods they're in, but mostly we're just getting overwhelmed with third world population that has much higher birth rates than we do. So, what can you say? Do the math. I mean, they're playing the long game, and there's only one way that we survive, and that's by shooting people. Sorry to say, I suggest that you paint welcome refugees on your bullets, or, you know, put thank you government on your bullets, because I'm sorry, that's just the only way I see anything happening. They're basically continuing to push and push and push. Just think of it like a playground, you know, situation where they first start playing little games, they start poking you, and then they start shoving you and pushing you, and they're just waiting. Are you going to swing? Are you going to defend yourself? Are you going to swing? And as long as we don't swing and do any damage, they're going to keep doing this and doing this and doing it and ramping it up. And as you know, it ain't no Biden, and there ain't no phony Joe Biden. There's a much bigger group that runs this show. He's just, like you say, the puppet, the stage man.
Yes. Brian.
I wanted to say here, so far, they're like ghost towns. It's just bizarre because they put these things up so quick. And I don't see a lot of people in them yet. So you can kind of see their plan in a way that they're, you know, they're bringing them across the border, and then eventually these things will be filled. But, you know, normally if it was normal economic activity, you wouldn't be building these huge things and have them empty for a long time and then have to, you know, pay the bank for, you know, interest on the loan or whatever. They don't seem to be too concerned that there aren't a lot of people in them yet.
Exactly.
So I don't know if that's true out there where you're at, Paul, if you went into any of them,
no.
Whether you're had people.
Come on out. I'll buy you a cup of coffee. And yeah, you can see for yourself. They are filling. They're full or filling up quickly. And what's amazing to me, I mean, they're not cheap. Okay. And I mean, you know, if you're making $20 an hour, let's face it, $20 an hour is not a bad job still. Okay. But you can't afford the average, you know, one or two bedroom apartment in San Jose with $20 an hour. In fact, they put it right in the newspaper a couple years ago that the average, I think it was one to two bedroom apartment in San Jose, you had to be making 40 something bucks an hour to be able to qualify. So how does that work? I mean, I see these huge complexes, and they're full of non-whites, right? Full of non-white foreigners and what we white nationalists like to call mystery meat, right? All sorts of different combinations of people, because it's been going on for a generation and a half or more, where, you know, the Mexicans are mixing with the Filipinos, mixing with the Vietnamese, you know, and the Asians and all the various common, and the blacks and the whites. It's basically we're turning into a mulatto mestizo culture, and that's who is filling up, together with the Asians and the Indians. That's who's filling up all these big apartment complexes. You can see it with your own eyes. And I ask myself all the time, and I can't be alone, how is it, what jobs do they have? Okay, where are they working? What jobs do they have to be able to afford all this? Right? Because, I mean, a lot of them are driving like nice Toyotas or BMWs and even Mercedes on occasion, you know, SUVs. So what the heck is going on? Well, yeah.
Hell of a good question, Paul. What is the answer?
Yeah, well, obviously it's been, there's decisions are being made well above our pay grade, and it's got nothing to do with our vote. Nobody ever asked us if this was okay.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad you and Brian came on to add these additional elements, these further ingredients to the larger equation with regard to this building, these building projects. I was oblivious of that. I think it is very significant. Fascinating stuff. A final thought, either, Paul, a final word?
I'll throw it over to Brian and then you, Jim.
Brian, I think you got to stock up. I just go back to telling you, if you don't have firearms, if you're not able to defend yourself, you're going to find yourself highly vulnerable. You're going to be in a precarious position. I encourage you to purchase firearms, get something you're comfortable with. If you have handgun and rifles and so forth, use the same caliber ammunition so you don't have to mess around with figuring out which way to load your weapon. Paul, Brian, thank you for joining me. John Carman was excellent, too. I appreciate all of this. And I'm just distraught over the future of our nation. It does not look good.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
That's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global